is Monday. The time is 5:31. Listen to Say Hey right here on KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, and I am joined, as always, by Noobs. Noobs, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I want to give a quick shout-out to my buddy Bill Jackson listening at home.
Oh, yeah?
Icing his knee.
What did he do to his knee?
Just, you know, old aggravated sports injury.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't fall down the stairs?
He may have, but has not come forth with that information.
Right, right. We'll have to put... who's the guy that leaked the NFL... what was that recently? They like dug up somebody's medical records and they might sue him. Adam Schefter. You read about that?
No.
Oh, it's ridiculous. We'll get to that another time. Anyway, Noobs, we're not here to talk about old knees.
No.
Because we have them. But we are going to talk about golf.
So we are going to talk about old knees.
We're going to talk about some old knees. But it was a great weekend for, the whole golfing world, because there's this, we've talked about it a little bit. This was the British Open, which is now more or less just known as the Open. We've kind of finally dropped the British thing here in America,
right?
Because, I mean, for God's sakes, it was being played in Scotland anyway.
It's the birthplace of golf, right? The old course.
It's the birthplace of golf.
St. Andrews. It might be the most well-known course in the world.
It is. It is. And 144 of them have now been in the books. And today was a special one because, one, after a weekend of crazy weather and delays, it kind of prolonged the drama of Jordan Spieth going to continue the Grand Slam push.
And dramatic it was, right?
Dramatic it was, right up to the end. He was one back going into the day, an amateur leading the pack at the beginning of the day.
An Irish kid.
A man that would not have received any money had he won.
The $1.8 million for the number one he would not have received.
Would have been forfeited.
Yeah.
And just a leaderboard packed with... younger names and names that are kind of becoming more common on the leaderboard. Jason Day. Mm-hmm. These aren't the... I mean, Sergio Garcia was on there, but you know what? Sergio Garcia has never won major.
That's the thing. Between all... Like, you just alluded to, between all these interesting storylines, I mean, you had an amateur, then you also had perhaps the greatest player to have not won a major in Sergio Garcia. You had Spieth going for the third leg of a calendar Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
You had Louis Oosthuizen, who was the last man to win at St. Andrews.
He's already got two of them.
And so, and then you have Jason Day, who had the fainting spell a couple weeks ago.
You got Adam Scott, who's a perennial contender.
Right, and then you've got Zach Johnson, who wound up winning. He's the only guy to have gotten his first two majors at Augusta and the British Open.
Yep.
And then you had Dustin Johnson falling off.
You had a young guy in Georgia. Jordan, I'm going to say his last name incorrectly, Jordan Niebrug, another American kid. Really.
A lot to be following this weekend.
A lot to be following this weekend at the most famous course in the world, arguably, that in Augusta. And it was just a great
Tiger
weekend.
Tiger who?
Tiger who? Yeah, who cares about Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
We don't even have to talk about his demise anymore because it's so uninteresting. It was great, and it went all the way down to the wire today.
Yes.
It wound up being a three-man playoff, and Jordan Spieth was right there until he bogeyed that really impossible 17th, where I think there was only one birdie on it the whole day.
Right.
Despite all the high scoring, that's what they regard as one of the toughest holes in the world. And then he couldn't quite sink the birdie putt, a tough one from the Valley of Sin on 18, winds up one stroke off the pace. Three-man playoff. Zach Johnson goes out. American Zach Johnson gets his second major title, 8 years apart from his first, which was a Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at this list. Zach Johnson, who doesn't get talked about a whole lot, he is now on this list of players that have won a Masters and an Open at the Old Course. Tiger, Jack, Sir Nick Faldo, Seve Ballesteros, Sam Snead.
That's pretty good company.
That's pretty good company right there. I mean, imagine that. You win, you've got two major victories, and they're at Augusta and the Old Course.
Yeah,
it doesn't get any better than that. That's like winning two World Series, one with the Yankees and one with the Red Sox or something.
Right, Cardinals.
Or the Cardinals or whatever. It's just
totally.
That's golf history right there. And I will admit that I was rooting for Jordan Spieth so hard because I enjoy watching him play and the storyline is amazing. And you just don't know when the next time you'll even see somebody get to go for the third leg of the Grand Slam. It's not common. I was bummed when he didn't sink that putt, and I was like, oh, man. But then I'm like, what am I bumming about? There's a three-person playoff at the British Open on Monday. You know, I got up at 6 a.m. and I watched golf for 6 hours.
And I like the way they do it, too, with a four-hole playoff instead of a one-hole playoff, because I don't think that's...
As an aggregate?
That's not fair enough, really, as aggregate four holes. And then an 18-hole playoff, I think, is way too much.
Right.
So I think four is like, that feels right.
Yeah, four was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there was still a putt at the end to extend it to another four.
Right.
That Louis missed. And the crowd was pulling for him, you know, you know, the Americans, people love Americans in the Open, but obviously anybody that plays on the other side of the pond more frequently is going to get that extra push. Mm-hmm. But you could tell they were definitely into Jordan Spieth all weekend, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, yeah. Man, how
people want to see history.
How good is that guy?
Oh, he's amazing. I mean,
he's got a complete game.
Yeah, and he's not one of these. I mean, I don't think he's one of these flukes. I mean,
no.
You had like a situation with David Duval from like 15 years ago, and people were thinking he and Tiger were going to.
He was the number one for about. He had like a 3-year run or so.
Yeah.
Where he just won.
But I think, you know, Spieth is, you know, he's here to stay, and he just, you know, he's a young kid, but he's a class act.
Yep.
And it's good for golf.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Golf.
People have been like lamenting the fall of golf, you know, since Tiger's fallen off 5 years ago. But man, golf, I think, is probably as strong as ever.
Oh, definitely. And you know what was interesting is we've lamented the way that the ESPNs in the world kind of, it's always been this Tiger watch, even when there was no reason to watch if he was injured or not playing well or whatever.
Right.
And that was like so far from the storyline in these recent weeks, especially after Spieth won that second major, because I haven't seen anybody in golf covered like this since Tiger came on strong.
Right.
Like the way that the golf world is like looking at this kid is the real, I mean, he's this thing in golf now.
I think if Rory was American,
guy. maybe that would be the case.
ESPN would be all over him too.
Because we can't speak for the way you know, folks in Europe view, but
right
here in the States,
yeah.
Nobody's been covered anything like that since Tiger.
That was
it's intense.
Oh, absolutely. And that was kind of the only bummer about the weekend was the fact that Rory wasn't there to defend his championship.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, these things happen. You know, I guess he had an injury playing soccer.
Yeah, just, you know, kind of almost a more serious injury.
Right. So we hope that going forward in the future he's okay and that it doesn't affect his swing, because he's one of those young guys out there that, you know, you want to see continue to win championships and kind of, you know, make a run at history.
Yeah.
And to see him and Spieth kind of going at it for the next decade, I think will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know, a guy that no one even knew really coming in today, Mark Leishman, who winds up finishing third in the playoff. We had, you know, he's Australian. We had a South African and an American in the playoff. So you've got guys from all over the world competing for this title. I mean, golf really is in a good spot right now.
No, it's in a great spot. I did notice, though, that, you know, pointing that out, there's a lot of Australians on the leaderboard, South Africans, Englishmen, Scotsmen, Irishmen, and Americans. You know, and there's a few Spaniards out there, but you don't see a lot of, like, players from non, like, English colonial countries.
No, and it
not
has
a lot of Germans or Belgians.
No. And also, in general, beyond that, you're not seeing a lot of not a lot of players from countries that, you know, have a lower economic status, because
this is true.
It's such
it's
an expensive game to play. Not just to play, but to even build a course.
Right.
You know, it is not the kind of thing where...
Yeah, not even individually, but like from the community
standpoint.
The
chances
standpoint.
Of you learning to play golf are
no,
much
slam.
Decreased because just of the economics
it's,
of it.
Yeah, it's sort of like ice hockey in that way.
Yeah, a little bit. But golf is in a good spot as far as national interest goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned my brother earlier this week that of all the sports networks that, you know, everyone has one, MLB, you've got a million soccer channels, you've got NFL Network, blah, blah, blah. My favorite is the Golf Channel.
Really?
I watch it all the time. It's peaceful. I'm up late.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on. I go to sleep.
Right.
It's there when I wake up. Nothing bad is happening. I don't know. It's very...
Nobody's getting suspended four games or four tournaments for beating their wife.
No. Yeah. It's very comforting and very peaceful. So I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little baseball, and then Kevin's going to come in and talk some soccer with us.
Sweet.
Just some quick kind of second half predictions. I'm going to say I don't want to go prediction-wise so much as teams I'm interested in watching.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to see what happens with the Cubs, because they're still playing good ball and they've got so much good young talent, even more than we probably gave them credit for, because Chris Bryant has turned out to be the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Rizzo is killing it.
Rizzo is amazing.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the Cubs in that rivalry throughout that division. That's a tough division this year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it kind of looks
probably the toughest in baseball at the moment.
I would say so. I mean, even the Brewers are playing well lately. Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh has kind of looks like they've got that firm hold on the first wild card. The Cubs are right there. Mm-hmm. St. Louis is fantastic. They should be getting Jaime Garcia back here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just got Holiday back off the DL. And so, yeah, I think top to bottom, that's probably the best division out there.
Yeah.
Cincinnati just hosted the All-Star game. Todd Frazier, their phenomenal All-Star first baseman,
and you
won
know what?
The home run derby.
I give him credit. It was a lot more interesting, I found.
I like it being timed. Absolutely.
Because more swings was more interesting than slower amounts of taking pitches.
And also, you could see the guys like Jock Peterson, like, you know, beckoning for his guy, one more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they would just get it off with like 1 second to go.
The anticipation of the time running out, the crowd was amazing.
No, they did a good job at resurrecting something that I didn't think could be resurrected.
No, I'll stand right here and say I was 100% wrong in guessing this time that they were going to blow it. And maybe that's because Bud Selig is gone and he's not around to make as lame a decision.
Maybe.
The AL, you know, I still like the Royals' chances a lot as the team to beat. I think that Houston's going to be interesting to watch in the second half. I'm curious to see if the Yankees, you know, still keep cranking it up because we thought maybe they'd be a little too old this time around. It's just, you know, because a lot of baseball left to play. Of course, the Giants are still in it in the wild card out in the NL West.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers are still playing good ball. Zach Greinke hasn't given up a run in like 49 innings or something.
I think it's 42 and a third or something.
Yeah, it's like approaching Hershiser status.
Absolutely. I will actually make a quick prediction.
Sure.
I think the Dodgers will win the National League.
Go into the series?
I do.
Okay.
Even though Kershaw has had some trouble in the postseason and had some trouble in the All-Star game, and it cost the NL the home field advantage.
Yeah.
But I really like LA's lineup with Peterson, Gonzalez, you know, Puig, Kendrick, Justin Turner. I mean, they've got bats all up and down that lineup. And I just feel their catcher. I mean, I just feel like, especially if they go out and add like Cole Hamels, which people were talking about, I just don't think anybody's going to stop LA this year.
We'll see. They have the talent. We'll see if they put it together in the postseason.
I think this is the year they do it.
They very well could.
We could have a freeway series because the Angels are coming on pretty hard.
Ugh.
I'm just saying.
I'm not
trying to get you excited. I'm just trying to state.
Can we have a beltway series or something? All right, let's bring Kevin in. What mic are you going to be on over there?
Our resident soccer expert.
Let's go with this guy right here. Kevin, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. And we were thinking, you know, Noobs was like, let's talk some Gold Cup. So I went in there and started.
And Jake said, what?
And I said, well,
what cup?
I'm not the guy to talk about that. But Kevin is, and then Kevin is. As soon as I mentioned it to him, was like, "That's not even interesting."
Right.
So
we're going to just use that as an excuse to get him in here.
As a platform for you to just talk about the world of soccer.
All right, I can do that.
Yeah,
but real quick, we do want to set it up though for those who are kind of paying attention. It looks like Mexico and the United States most likely are going to. They're in the semifinals this week, respectively, against Panama and Jamaica, but most likely, if everything plays out how it should, we'll have a USA-Mexico final on Sunday, which is always interesting.
Absolutely.
Because, it's, you know, there's a little bit of animosity between those two nations, at least on the soccer field.
Well,
and we're definitely the powerhouses of this top half of our Western Hemisphere.
Oh, absolutely. Mexico and U.S. are by far probably the best two teams in the CONCACAF.
Right.
Grouping. Costa Rica is
played well,
very close second, and then it's really up for grabs on everybody else after that, depending upon more how they're playing and kind of how they're developing. CONCACAF is a developing squad of teams for
right.
sure, you know, and so you've got a lot of potential. Jamaica, you know, the Jamaicans you always have to keep an eye on because you never know where they're going to come from. I mean, the guys, they had a bobsled team.
Right.
You know, so you never know what's going to happen with Jamaica. They've also got some of the fastest people on the planet.
Right.
And you put those, that type of drive and that type of speed.
Athletic ability,
on a soccer field, and you get some good coaching involved, and watch out. You know, there's a lot of excitement in that respect. Now, like Jake was and I were talking about, the Gold Cup. What you have to keep in mind with the Gold Cup and anything that you deal with when you're dealing with the soccer world at this level is it's always about the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And so the coach, Kleinsmann, that's what he's looking at. This is his way of kind of looking at the team, preparing the team, getting ready for the team to really move on to the next levels that are going to get them into the World Cup.
So him benching Altidore, is that a significant thing? Or does it mean anything coming that it's 3 years away still from Sochi?
It could be. It could also be something where he sits there and he's trying to show the rest of the American players that might have a chance down the road that, hey, you know, you need to do or be prepared to listen to me.
Right.
You know, I'm the one that's in charge. I'm the one that's gonna be making the decisions. And this is a decision that I made, not, you know, any other aspect of it. And that kind of happens. Is he going to be benched the next game or the next series of games? That depends.
Now, does this have any? This doesn't qualify them for the World Cup, right? This is just kind of like our.
No, what this UEFA qualifies them for is a next set. It's the Confederations Cup,
okay.
2017 Confederations Cup. Now that cup will help put people into the World Cup.
Okay.
It's a really odd process on how teams get into the World Cup. There's all kinds of different back roads into the World Cup. The two easiest ones to know is last year's winners, Germany, will automatically go, and the host team will go.
Right,
so that's
correct.
Russia.
Right.
That's how they get in. And then, you know, they say that there's these qualifiers and stuff like that that get closer to the World Cup and that allow that to happen. Yes, they do, but you know, there are all kinds of different little ways to get in. European teams, no. You got to be the best there is at that time to get involved. But all these other countries, and, you know, there's 206 other countries that play, they have different ways of getting in.
Okay.
This type of event, this type of the Gold Cup, this allows them to showcase their talent. This allows countries that don't normally have that opportunity to be recognized on a world stage to get recognized. The other thing it does is it allows the fans to see their teams, and I'm talking about the diehard fans. Mm-hmm. So in America, that's Sam's Army. That allows them to see their team in a way that they can actually participate and kind of help guide the U.S. team selection of players that they want to get there. Because if those diehard fans that do follow the sport are loud and boisterous, especially with certain players, the coaches take notice of that. And they see that that is going to generate publicity and other types of media advantage for them to allow them to go on to the next step, whatever the next tournament is. You know, right now I believe Fox News, or not Fox News, but Fox is doing the television for
right.
this event.
Yep.
Well, the next time around it could be ABC. And so that's a bigger market. You got bigger crowds, you got people that are interested, you got people that are talking about it, and then you got this underlining base of fanatics that just won't shut up.
I think Klinsmann, though, can't be catering too much to outside interests, or else he wouldn't have left Landon Donovan off of last year's World Cup team.
Absolutely, but Klinsmann has an opportunity that most coaches don't have. A, the American team is a transition team getting better. It's not getting worse, it's getting better. It's also a world known name because it's the USA. So he gets to play around with things that other coaches in the world don't get to play with. Say England. The English coach, he's stuck with the players that he's got. If he sits there and he takes a Rooney off, he's going to have a riot on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing. So Klinsmann gets to play with that type of stuff, and he's smart enough to know this is how he can play this.
Is there anything to be taken positively, or does it mean nothing about the good results they got in the exhibitions, the friendlies against Germany and the Netherlands?
It absolutely takes a lot. It's a good thing because it puts American players on the world scene so that other clubs, more prestigious clubs, better prepared clubs that have a lot more money, it gives them the ability to see them in a way that they wouldn't be able to see them. You know, it's
You mean like club teams for individual, like that would be recruiting individual players?
Oh, Barcelona, okay. Liverpool, you know, Chelsea,
AC Milan,
all of those okay. those players. Because you got to remember, those clubs are always looking for the next player that they can put into a spot that they may not have, because the other teams that they play against regularly have covered it up mm-hmm. somehow. There's we can get into the trading and stuff like that and the games that are played with the trading. But that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, because there's a whole loan system.
Absolutely.
Which I've never really quite been able to fully grasp.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Maybe that's for another day, I guess.
Yeah, and we're talking huge amounts of money to keep players off teams as well.
What about the international news you were referencing earlier regarding LA Galaxy and so forth?
Well, this is what's really exciting right now in MLS is you've got Lampard and Jared, who both played in England, both England national teams. Now they're playing in the United States. And yes, it's a direct result of Beckham that played for LA Galaxy, but it's really starting to open up this market of older, more established European players, especially national players, starting to come to the United States. The American teams are starting to have the money to attract these players, and they've also got the TV and the news that allows them to kind of keep relevant in their home countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has really started to you really started to see these players start to move over here, and it's really started to elevate the game. Now, it does take a little bit away from American players being able to participate in their own countries, but you got to remember, in Europe, that happens everywhere.
Right.
So now you got Americans playing over in Europe that are playing against these better players and better teams that are getting the support from lots of money, and you're also getting the players that are coming in and now teaching the younger players, and they are giving them the opportunity to sit there and increase their skills. See how somebody like a Jared, who is a tactical master when it comes to the sport, sit there and kind of coach these kids and go, look, this is what you need to be looking for. That long ball that you've always chasing, stop chasing that one. Go after that shorter ball so that you can get that long ball down to the guy on the left.
Okay, so this goes further than just kind of for publicity and to raise awareness about MLS. I mean, these guys that are coming over here, you're not saying that they're just over the hill and looking for a final paycheck. I mean, you're saying that this can actually increase the popularity and the quality of play in MLS.
You can't get a Jared, who was the captain of the England team, I believe, at least 10 years, maybe longer. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
You know how I know all these guys? It's playing FIFA.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, like Frank Lampard, like I know these guys from playing FIFA. I don't know if that kind of sounds silly or whatever, but like all these guys that I know that recognize names, like David Villa, like I know them from playing the EA Sports game.
Well,
not
absolutely.
That I'm plugging it, but
these are the top players in the world, and they don't get time off like, you know, regular sports where, okay, you're on the off season, go to the beach or this. They don't
right,
get
no,
that.
They're going to another team or
they're playing another game.
Champions League.
It's on average, I was reading a while back, on average, a player like Messi averages 2 to 3 games a week all year round.
Wow.
You know.
That's.
Yeah. That's a lot
that's
of
a
games.
Workload, yeah.
You know, and that's not going to stop until he retires. No matter how much, unless something, God forbid, something happens to him medically where he can't play anymore. But that's what's going to happen to him until he chooses, I don't want to do this anymore. And so, you know, of course, Messi's not going to come over to the United States anytime soon. But there is a possibility that somebody like Messi down the road would sit there and think about the United States because of other opportunities that arise here, such as television, movies, that type of stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, he's maybe thinking that in his 40s, obviously he's not going to be able to play for, you know, a Premier League team. He's probably not going to be able
to
play
Argentina.
For Argentina at that time. But there's going to be so much more that he's capable of doing in the United States instead of going into becoming the coach for the Argentina national team.
He's already kind of tapped into that. I mean, he was on Pepsi commercials last year. You
absolutely.
Know, so you can see that his popularity, that the overall international popularity, I think, has really started to come to the United States, you know, in earnest.
And that's what these older players from Europe that are coming in, that's what they're bringing into it.
Right.
So you've got markets that are opening up in Europe that are, you know, think of how many Liverpool fans and Manchester City fans are going to be sitting there now looking at the stats for the Galaxy and I forget the one that Lampard's at, but are going to be now looking at the stats just because they recognize that name. So
Now
you've got people in England going, oh, who the Galaxy? You know, who's this MLS team? Who's the coach? Who's this? That, you know, kids that have followed Lampard since they were 5 years old, you know, are now in their 30s and 40s are going, whoa, you know, why did he go there?
Now, Klinsmann is he's a big proponent of young American kids going and playing in Europe, right? Because
Absolutely.
He feels that the quality of play, the competition is harder over there. So therefore, to get them their games, you know, in a better spot for the national team back home, he wants them to go over there. Now, is he at odds with U.S. soccer on this? Do you see a lot of people from within the organization that want our homegrown talent to stay and play for, like, the Red Bulls and the Sounders?
There's always going to be that aspect because that's the nature of soccer nationally.
Mm.
But American soccer is much more open than the rest of the world to being able to travel because they have the other four core sports that are,
right.
you know, in this country are bigger. So it's always going to be much more open than that. But the reality is that it would be like taking, you know, somebody from Germany that played American football in Germany and is a German and bringing them here to the United States without going through all the rigmarole of going through high school and college and all that stuff and expecting them to do well. They're going to get better, of course, because they're playing in the NFL and they're, you know, they're obviously good enough. But they're not that good yet.
Okay.
But you keep playing that guy. You keep getting more Germans into the NFL. And what's going to happen in 20, 30 years when the Germans recognize that they've got a core group of people that are playing so well in the NFL, Germans are going to start being more interested in the NFL. Same type of thing. You get American players overseas, they start getting better. They start getting recognized. They go to the Gold Cup. They're being recognized by American fans. They're being recognized by America, but they're also got that group of people in Europe that recognize them. Your potential is just limitless. It just goes through the roof.
Let me ask you about
quick FIFA. Down. Got about 1 minute.
Just real quick, can you give us a Sepp Blatter update? The president who apparently had resigned and now he's going to stay on until this new election. And should we have a new election? Because shouldn't the guy from Jordan just kind of, I mean, he came in close, right? Shouldn't he just be?
There is going to be a new election. I'm not sure when. I think if I remember correctly, it's not that far away. Couple months at the most. Sepp Blatter needs to just walk away.
Right.
He just needs to go away.
I mean, did you see that thing this morning where the English comedian comes up and makes it rain on his head?
I just wanted to make sure, but
Giroux was talking about that.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was Simon Bodkin.
You were talking about
and,
that. Yeah, that's what it was.
He threw money at him for the North Korean 2026 World Cup.
That's right.
That's
hilarious.
Absolutely awesome.
Kevin,
yeah, he's done.
Thank you so much for coming and dropping real knowledge on us.
Appreciate
That's
it.
Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
You should become like a semi-regular guest, I think.
Yeah.
I think that
Thank
makes
you.
Sense. Let you know that Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings, opening on August 3rd. Buffalo Wild Wings features 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings and more at 801 East Avenue, open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at buffalowildwings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports, and then we want to say thanks to Duffy's Tavern, a local Chico tradition since 1989. They offer a true 16-ounce pint of Guinness on tap and a full bar featuring the Chico News and Review's favorite Bloody Mary. Duffy's is located on the corner of 4th and Main and is open daily from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. and from noon till 2 a.m. on weekends. Voted Chico's best bar. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to take you out with a quick promo for a KZFR event we got coming up, and then Peace Talks Radio is next, so stick around. We'll see you next week.
Saturday, August 1st, the Pageant Theater presents a night of film and musical splendor, so poignant, so compelling, it will touch the very depths of your soul.
It's a home bar. It's very pretty.
What do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.
That's Saturday, August 1st. It's a one-night-only screening of Spinal Tap at the Pageant Theater. KZFR will be on hand to provide adult beverages, so get there early.
Dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
Right. Yeah. One more time, that's Spinal Tap at the Pageant Theater on Saturday the 1st. Doors at 10, show at 11. See you there.
Thank you.
the shadow of the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, the radio and online series Peace Talks Radio was begun to preserve a bit of the media landscape for talk about peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution strategies. I'm Peace Talks Radio co-founder and program producer Paul Ingalls. The goal of the program has been to explore how we can reduce conflict, both inside ourselves and between each other,